Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
My name isn't. It's Cody Johnston. Hello, Katie Stoll.
Hello, Cody Johnston. And joining us today again is the wonderful Dave Schilling.
Hi. Wonderful. Yes, I agree.
I should have planned out some more, like,
Okay. You got the word right.
Wonderful.
You picked the perfect word. Nailed it. It's the best word.
It's pretty all-encompassing. As is the tradition with Even More News, we always start by wishing everyone a very happy whatever holiday, insert holiday. However, this week I want to highlight a holiday that happened, you know, a few days ago, because it's interesting to me that we had both National Dog Day and Women's Equality Day on the same day.
Oh.
On the same day.
Interesting.
There's some stuff to unpack there. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but it is interesting. You choose between celebrating women and celebrating dogs on the same day. It felt nice and good. I felt seen.
You feel good? You feel, yeah.
As a woman and
a dog owner.
A dog owner.
I feel like...
I'm neither.
You're neither. So you felt very excluded.
I feel like garbage, like worse than
I'm
garbage.
I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have brought up this holiday.
The
dog is angry.
Very upset.
Maggie has
How
thoughts.
How dare you say that about my day?
About National Dog Day. It's interesting. It's interesting to have people, most of the holidays that we bring on here are jokes. I mean, they exist, but it's silly. But, you know, these are the ones that actually do take over social media. And it is odd to see that happening in the midst of violent protests, crushing down on human rights, a pandemic, all of it. And that pinged me a little bit this time. I mean, in general, I'm all about people posting pictures of their dogs, mm-hmm. you know.
Also, I feel like we've had many holidays this year that are dog related.
There are so many dog related holidays. I don't know. That's just food for thought for everybody. I hope you had a National Dog Day.
Dog and food for thought.
To all the women listening, I hope you felt equal.
I'm guessing they didn't.
Hence why I brought this up.
It's a reasonable guess. Speaking of dogs, treats. And speaking of treats, things. And speaking of things, thanks. Thanks to Feels for supporting Even More News. Feels can have me feeling my best, and it can help you also feeling your best. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping.
Okay, Dave. Hi. This is the part where we check in. How are you doing?
The last time I was on here, we were in the throes of the George Floyd protest, mm-hmm. and now I feel like we're beginning to experience a bit of deja vu.
We sure are.
It's kind of happening all over again, maybe in a different way this time.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's less likely that there's going to be the massive protests that we saw then, at the end of May, early June. But we're seeing people, you know, fed up, equally fed up as they were last time. And, you know, it's exhausting. That's how I feel. I feel exhausted.
Yeah.
Just tired of the kind of grind of crisis every day and the constant reminders that everything is broken. And I would just love to drive out to the desert and lay in the sand naked for a while. I'm not going to do that anytime soon, but that is my fantasy.
I mean, you can. It's not that
have
far.
To be naked. There's no need to be naked.
I drive out to the desert and laid around mostly naked.
In clothes. Oh, okay.
Well, you know, a bathing suit is mostly naked.
Right.
I'll give you that.
Year's not over yet. There's still time.
So much time, unfortunately.
That means I've seen so many people mostly naked mm-hmm. in my life. Wow.
I mean, it's a positive reframe.
Not somewhat clothed, mostly naked.
Mostly naked. Yeah, it's like a glass half empty, mm-hmm. half full kind of question.
I really relate to your fatigue. And I think that we all have it in different ways at different times. But it's demoralizing and it's depressing and it's overwhelming and exhausting because it's this crisis which deserves all of our attention in the midst of all these other crises that also deserve our attention, and nothing changes, and it's frustrating, and And nothing changes unless violence happens. Nothing changes unless they burn down a police station. And then it's the rioters and gosh, and now we'll talk about the RNC, everything. We're going to get into Kenosha. We're going to talk about all the details of what's going on and, you know, the way people are discussing it. But at the same time as we're seeing these news, I'm seeing, you know, mainstream media pundits talking about how Biden and the Dems really have to do something about the riots because it's going to hurt their chances in November. And
President Biden, why isn't he doing anything?
Right, right. And it's so infuriating. So the thing, the only thing that makes a difference, I mean, this is a generalization, but pretty true, you know, in terms of getting national attention is the thing that you're telling me is going to stop us from winning this incredibly pivotal election.
Well, I mean, you know, I want to bring up something that gives me hope and that I think is,
yes, please,
probably the first real widespread action that I've seen that has gotten tangible change is the NBA,
yes,
Wildcat strike.
Yes, yes.
This is a major inflection point, I think, for the progressive left's attempts to get real change from this process, from this
yeah,
moment of anxiety and fear, is when wealthy people get involved, mm-hmm, and then damage the ability for even wealthier people to make more money.
Yeah.
Then you can start to see real change. And the labor movement in America has always been at the vanguard of social progress. And the more that we disenfranchise labor unions, the more that we take a crap on the idea of people organizing for their rights, the worse the country gets.
Yeah.
There is a direct correlation between the two. And so we have to empower the few unions we have left that have any stroke in this country. And it's sad to say, some of the only unions that are left that have any stroke in this country are entertainment and athletics. And on the other side of the spectrum, the police.
Yes, so, yes.
We have to mobilize the unions, the means of production, for the people that are controlling our lives. And the people that control our lives are people who have a heavy stake in entertainment. We don't make cars in America. We don't build big buildings as much as we used to. We don't make plastics or boats or whatever. We make entertainment.
Yeah.
So if the basketball player or the football player or the baseball player says, I'm not going to play, then people start to pay attention. And I've seen people starting to ask actors to start striking,
mm-hmm,
writers to start striking, directors to start striking.
Yeah.
That has to happen. These things,
yeah,
have to happen because it all goes back to money and it all goes back to where people are getting their wealth. And if we can control the production of the most important good and service in this country, in this world, entertainment, then we can start to control the levers of politics again.
Yeah. For anybody that listening that isn't quite clear about this story, in light of Kenosha and the protests that are happening, something pretty historic happened, as you were just mentioning. It started with the Milwaukee Bucks, correct? Right?
Mm-hmm.
They left their playoff game against the Orlando Magic in solidarity with the protests, and that had this snowball effect that led to the rest of the league also suspending their games, the WNBA, some baseball teams. It was pretty spectacular. I mean, look, I am actually getting into basketball for the first time. I grew up in a household that didn't watch basketball. Although after I went to college, my mom became infatuated with the Warriors. So now it's a basketball house. But that's not how I grew up. But my boyfriend is a huge basketball fan, and he's been teaching me about it. And I start to learn, you know, all about all the players and get into the drama. And I've been having fun. So there was this moment of like disappointment and glee mixed together of like, yes, yes, this is incredible. And you're right. This is exactly the example that we need to be setting from people that have that power, that have our attention. It did look like for a second that they were going to suspend the rest of the season, but that is not happening as of now. But still, it was pretty profound.
Yeah, and it gets you,
sorry, Cody,
like a kind of hope that will trickle down, like because like you were talking about, like labor has power, like unions have power. It's been chiseled away over many, many decades, but it gives you hope that their action that affects everybody. Everybody loves entertainment. It's the culture. America's biggest export is culture. And sort of trickling down to other people in the workforce, realizing like, oh, we could do that too. We can go on strike. We can do what they're doing, and sort of building a movement across the country and across different markets, and everybody realizing that they do have the power. I'm pretty cynical about the possibility of like a general strike, which I think is sort of on everybody's mind after this, but it does give a little glimmer of hope that is possible if those kinds of ideas are communicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's definitely unlikely that there will be any sort of general strike this year. That there's not enough time, number one, to organize something like that. And number two, I think people are feeling pressure to act, but there's still the outlet of the election and the energy around the election. If, let's say, God forbid, Donald Trump either wins or enacts some sort of successful coup, which I think is unlikely as well, and remains in power somehow, then that's when that sort of thing is going to start to happen.
Yeah.
And people are going to stop going to work. Right now, I think there's still a lot of fear, understandably so, that if you don't go to work, you will be replaced because there are 30 million people who are unemployed and they're desperate for work. But if pushed far enough, I think people will start to see that as a valuable option. And as Cody said, you know, the NBA leading the way and saying this is an option gives people the chance to think about, well, can we do that ourselves?
Yeah.
The NBA is in a unique position, and granted, Jared Kushner saying,
"Oh my God,"
luxury of going on strike feels offensive to our ears.
Yes,
he's right.
He is.
They do have the luxury of going on strike because one, they cannot be replaced.
Yeah.
I can be replaced because an employer doesn't see any value in me beyond an ass in a chair or a name on a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
I am talented in my view.
You are.
Not enough to matter to somebody who has millions or billions of dollars. They're like, he's just who cares? He's just a peon. He's a little ant, a little nugget of human flesh.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that as how people
point taken
in power
yes.
treat
yeah.
us. That goes for all of us. That goes for every single person, even up to showrunners on TV shows, to, you know, the fifth person on the call sheet in a movie. Like, you can be replaced. Anyone can be replaced. Basketball players cannot be replaced because they have physical gifts and training that make them remarkable.
Yeah.
So they can go on strike, even though it's illegal for them to go on strike based on their collective bargaining agreement terms. They were able to pull it off and make some hay here. They also are multimillionaires, and in some cases with LeBron James creeping towards billionaire status. So they can afford it and they can get away with it and they have the leverage. You and I don't have that yet. But if we all work together in a collective action, if we all pool our resources and help each other, we can.
Yeah.
But we just haven't gotten to that point where people are ready to organize on that level.
Do you think there's Oh yeah. Well, right. You're not gonna get the Washington Generals to scab for the NBA. Like that's no one's gonna want to watch any whatever they try to do. That's not gonna happen. Do you think
it's also the playoffs right now too?
Yeah.
This is the biggest, you know, most important time of the year for basketball.
But the idea that the Lakers and the Clippers were both going to say no, we're not finishing this season. These two front runners is like
it was a masterful negotiating.
Yes.
Device. I don't think there was ever any doubt in my mind that they were going to finish this.
Sure.
Season. But by saying,
it,
you know what? Eh, I don't care.
It's it's interesting that they've been the impetus for this, but also the sort of countrywide COVID response. Like they were the they were the ones who were like, but we can't. This is we need to pay attention to this.
And they take it seriously, and they have done a great job of how they've proceeded handling this. Also, we got to talk about some other stuff, but want to point out they've also committed all of these stadiums as voting centers during the election.
Yeah,
incredible. And even going back to, this pandemic response, all of it, they were making the decision to restart the playoffs in the midst of the George Floyd protests and the big concerns the whole time. I'm sure there's lots of concerns, but one of them was, we do not want this to be a distraction from the important social work that is happening. And this is them putting their money where their mouth is with that. Mm-hmm. This is them saying, like we said, this shit's more important. It gets me, you know?
Do you,
I thought it's important.
Do you think it's likely, I was going to sort of bring this up in context of, you were talking about like, if Trump, again, God forbid, is the president still next year, and that sort of driving the possibility of people just like, I'm not going to work. We're not working. We're done with this. I keep thinking about if Biden wins. So first of all, the Trumpist aspect of the country, 35% of America about, and that is consistent. But they're also like heavy reactionaries, and a lot of them are working class. And Joe Biden, I think, is a huge disappointment for a lot of people who are like Democrats or on the left and who will vote for him because we don't want a fascist in the White House anymore. I keep thinking about the possibility of like that actually being the impetus of it, because I think that there are a lot of people who just want to go back to brunch. Once Biden is elected, if that happens, but there are many people want to go back to brunch, but many people don't and have realized over the past 4 years that we can't go back to brunch. That's not, it wasn't good back then. We're not going to go back to normal no matter what. And I think this year has made it clear that even if you want it to go back to normal, we're not, but it's not, that's not going to happen. So I just keep thinking about the possibility of that driving, something like a general strike, where you have these people who are going to sort of react to Joe Biden negatively no matter what he does, and then people who are fed up with everything and want actual change from somebody that they will also be voting for.
I think if Biden wins, there will be, you know, at least 6 months of kind of normalcy.
Yeah. Of brunch.
Of normalcy in the sense of what people want, which is like, because I also still feel like one of these vaccines is going to get approved, you know, in December, January or something. Or sooner.
If Trump
I know he's like,
do not sign me up for the first few batches. Thanks.
No, me neither. I'm going to be wearing my mask till like August of next year. But I think there will be that kind of desire to go back to normal. The one reason why I don't think that there will be any sort of collective action on the right if Biden wins is because that is not how they function. Yeah. That is not the ethos of the Republican electorate. That is not the philosophy of the conservative mind. It is not collective action. It is individual action. And I'm less concerned about people not going to work and more concerned about mass shootings.
I mean, that's the other, that's the thing.
It's more Kyle Rittenhouses that will happen. Yeah. Because they feel like they have to take their country back from maybe
100%.
The most milquetoast man you could possibly run for president.
The socialist agenda.
No, you mean
of Joe
the socialist
Biden.
Anarchist?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a whole other issue and concern that will be, like, the reaction to him winning will be very unpleasant and violent.
So that's a good time to pivot, I think, slightly. Not slightly. I want to talk about Kenosha a bit before we take a break, and specifically what about Kyle Rittenhouse. So we talked about Kenosha earlier this week on Worst Year Ever, but of course the story has continued. Just as a quick recap, if in case you don't know about this, last weekend in Kenosha, police officers shot Jacob Blake, a black man, 7 times in the back in front of his children, 3 children. Officers were apparently responding to a domestic violence call, tried to arrest Blake, who was there trying to de-escalate the situation. You know, he tried to get into his car and they shot him at close range.
Very close range.
Right next to him. You could have touched him instead of shooting him. You know, anyone saying that in your life, I don't doubt our listeners would be saying this, that he should have just complied with the officer. Just no, stop. Right now, like, what does that even mean? We know what's happening in our country right now, always, but if someone's shooting a black man in the back 7 times in this current political climate, they have no desire to respect that person's life or
there's no guarantee that I'm getting out of that any sort of police interaction with my life. And that is the thing that makes the whole argument around compliance illogical, because compliance means that they can do whatever they want to you. And that's, you know, I've been watching Lovecraft Country on HBO, and the first episode is a lot about, you know, life in under Jim Crow, and compliance is what was taught to people at that time. And that didn't mean that you were going to get away. That didn't mean they weren't going to lynch you or tar and feather you or something. That just meant that you might last a few more minutes before they end up killing you. There's no compliance that is going to make racists stand down, because their aim is not to just have you under their heel. It's to destroy you, to destroy what you stand for. So compliance is horseshit. It's nonsense. Until there's a trust between law enforcement and the citizens. The black citizens, the all people of color, all trans people, all people that are marginalized in this country. Without trust, there is no law enforcement system whatsoever. There is just the gun, you know, the gun in your face.
And like, what do you, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean,
I look at these videos, but like that decision, and you're in front of your children, you're trying to do something. You're in a situation that's not even your situation here, but also. Fuck all of that. If somebody is there, no matter what, if somebody, this whole like, this person doesn't deserve this, nobody deserves this. Like, I don't care if you stole something. I don't care if you've got a knife in your car. I don't care. You know?
None of those things, I mean, none of those things are death sentences. Also, the police aren't, that's not their job. It's not their job to decide. It's not their job to execute people. It's just this cycle every single time this happens. It's the same conversation over and over. And this year is like a condensed, like we talked about last time, of like, it's all very, when the George Floyd protest started, it was like, oh, this happened 4 or 5 years ago in Ferguson. This is the exact same thing. It's the exact same conversation. Yeah. Every response to every response, it's the same thing. And now it's just accelerated to the point where, okay, now 5 months later, we're going to do it again. Now 3 months later, now 2 months later.
The people arguing against what we're advocating for, which is pretty simple, which is, you know, everyone's constitutional right to life. Those people are arguing in bad faith. And you have to remind yourself every single day, these people are not arguing based on intellect or emotion. They are not arguing based on philosophy. There is no philosophy to speak of here. There's nothing underneath what Ben Shapiro is saying other than contrarianism. We value contrarianism in this country to such an extent that all you have to do is find the person that you don't like and disagree with what they say. There is no...
Yeah.
So you can't argue with Ben Shapiro.
Yeah. It's irrational, yeah.
Yeah, it becomes like insanity to expect a different result when you keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Keep doing the same thing.
Ann Coulter is arguing in bad faith. And yet every time she says something like, I want Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old boy who murdered 2 people, to be the president of the United States. You can take that seriously. And you can try and tell her why that's crazy. You have just said that a murderer, a man, a child who is about to stand trial eventually for murdering two people should be president. You know, when you say that, you're saying something that makes no sense. You can't argue with that. You can't argue with someone who is saying something absurd because they just want attention. But that is the coin of the realm in this country, in the world, more often than not.
Yeah.
And short of censoring these people, there's no answer to it. Because they don't care about anything other than their need to enrich themselves and to enrich their level of success and fame and notoriety or infamy.
It always makes me think of that. There's a Sartre quote about anti-Semites and how you can talk to them and they will be very like sly with their words. And then if you actually confront what they're saying with any sort of rationality or logic, they'll just sort of dismiss it in a their little like clever aloof way, and then they'll walk away because they know that they can't actually argue with it. Like Milo Yiannopoulos, I think, is one of the perfect examples of this, where it's like you don't believe in anything. You're just being contrarian. You're just trying to cause trouble. And that is like the American fascism is the stupidest version of fascism. Yeah. But
we did the stupidest version of everything so far.
We're all in on the stupidest version of every single thing we try.
Yeah.
But it is at its core, it is just irrationality for the sake of power. And yeah.
That is the only philosophy of the American far right extremist is irrationality. Yeah. There is no, you know, I hate to quote the Big Lebowski, but, you know, National Socialism did have an ethos. It did have a point of view, even if it was abhorrent. There's nothing to this. It is just a big bucket of no.
We're going to get into some of that when we talk about the RNC. Yeah. Fun. Before we take a break, I do want to just, you know, we've mentioned Kyle Rittenhouse and haven't explained this a couple times. So back in Kenosha, you know, protests, a lot of unrest, tensions have been escalating. And Kyle Rittenhouse drove, he's 17 years old, drove from out of state with his guns to protect businesses from looters. Ended up shooting several people and killing two. It's horrifying. At first, it was unclear what his motivations were. You know, is he white supremacist? People were saying, is he a boogaloo? But he's not a boogaloo. He's a very staunchly pro-cop,
Blue Lives Matter
vigilante. Blue Lives Matter, a former police cadet. He was there to assist the cops in an unofficial capacity. His social media
mindset
is covered in Blue Lives. Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked a lot about this on this show and on Worst Year Ever. I've got a little quote, some quotes from Vice News I want to read. First one, police interacted with the alleged gunman at various locations in Kenosha throughout the night. In one video, Rittenhouse is seen chatting with police who gave him a bottle of water and thanked him for being there. Another chunk. The apparent shooter, meanwhile, was seen on video walking away from the scene, his AR-style rifle clearly visible, his hands above his head. The Kenosha police, who were responding to the reports of gunfire, showed no interest in arresting or even questioning the man. Instead, they asked him for directions. Is someone injured straight ahead? An officer asks him via loudspeaker. He even approached an idling police car, going up close to the window, and then changed his mind and walked away. Brent Ford, 24, a photographer, witnessed the entire scene. He had his hands up and they told him to get out of there, even though everyone was yelling that he was the shooter. It's just a perfect example of everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just, it's horrifying. His lawyers are trying to frame it as self-defense. The officers have been put on administrative leave. They have not been fired. It seems the Kenosha Police Union is fighting hard to protect them. But I think the thing I want to say before we take a break is it's already being taken by the right. And, you know, you mentioned Dan Coulter in her tweet. You know, as him as some sort of hero, as some sort of, you know, a hero.
Like a mini Bernie Getz or something.
Sure.
Like death wishing his way through a protest. Again, bad faith. This is a bad faith argument because it is not law and order. I said this on Twitter or something to this effect, that there is no law and order if citizens who are not deputized are on the streets with firearms shooting at people. That's not law and order. That
is the opposite.
That is chaos. That is anarchy.
That is chaos.
We're talking about anarchy. What Republicans are arguing for is anarchy. And that is not what they, in their minds, believe they're saying.
They hate anarchy.
They hate anarchy. But anarchy is the absence of law and order. And there is no law and order if there are people who are not police officers acting as police officers. That is beyond ludicrous. It's absurd.
Yeah.
But again, this is a bad faith argument that they are making. They are doing it because it is a cudgel. And what Donald Trump has been able to do with the Republican Party is supercharge the things that were already there. Because we've had Rush Limbaugh my entire life, basically. You know, we've had Fox News since I was 10, or however long it's been since Fox News, you know, drove a stake in the heart of the American dream for all. We've had these pundits and these people who are more than happy that are gleefully willing to use bad faith arguments to distract people or to confuse people or to enrage people and motivate them to act. So as long as we continue to have that in that party, it's going to be bad no matter who is the president, no matter who is their nominee for president. But Donald Trump was able to use it because he had no shame and he had no fear of reprisal. Mitt Romney had shame. He was afraid to really embrace that. George W. Bush didn't have to because he was the, you know, the son of a former president, so he could just coast. Yeah. But we got to a point where they lost enough times to a black person that the Republican Party was willing to abandon all pretense and elect a man who said, I will do everything that you wanted to do, but we're afraid to do.
Yeah, I'll shout the quiet parts now for you.
Yeah.
So that's a good spot for us to take a real quick break, but we're going to be back to talk about all of this and more when we dive into the RNC vomit.
Can't wait.
Okay, be right back. Hey, welcome back to the ad part. You know the part where we ask if you experience stress or have anxiety, trouble sleeping, or other stuff. Well, you're not alone. So, I don't know, maybe try Feels, a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness that's exacerbated by, who knows, the things you read about. I personally have a lot of trouble sleeping lately, you know, from the anxiety and the stress. So, sometimes I need a little something extra, and that extra something is Feels.
Just place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The right dose depends on you, so go wild! Take too many drops! Don't take too many drops. Maybe a medium amount of drops of Feels can help you. So become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/morenews to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/morenews.
And we are back, as promised, for even more news. Let's talk about the RNC. It was really, really hard to
watch. Oh, hard to watch. Sorry. I thought we were going to say normal.
It was hard to watch. Yes, very normal and fine. It was really hard to watch against the backdrop of what's happening in our country this week, as we mentioned already. So much of it, violent protests, armed vigilantes, people being killed, black men being killed, pandemic. Wildfires, intense hurricanes. It was a lot to process. And if you guys couldn't watch, that's cool. I get it.
Sorry if you missed it.
Like, God, you're good, folks. Just so many, like, we watch it because it's part of what we do.
This.
But if you don't, if it's not part of what you do, don't poison your brain with that. It's hell.
You could feel your blood pressure raising. Just some general notes. Their speakers were so bad. Bottom of the barrel.
Very, very stilted public
so
speakers.
So stilted.
A lot
everybody
of
had
Webster's Dictionary defines energy. How I kept seeing it. Just really, really uncomfortable to watch.
Frozen, stiff smiles, glassy eyes. But also just who? Like there was one person on the first night, I don't even have his name here. He was straight up just a congressional candidate. Like, you've never even been elected. Who are you?
I like the terrified guy who was proud to nominate Donald John president.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That was very funny. Thank you for sharing that with me, Cody. Also, Pence and Trump both spoke in front of live crowds. Crowds that were not social distance, barely any masks. And that is, it's really galling with everything that's happening. And after what happened in Tulsa.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
well, it also gives people... Herman Cain died.
He died. Yep. He died. He's dead now.
He died. He died. He died.
Yeah, he died.
From the
he
thing
dead.
That they did.
He did.
It's a kind of, it's also like frustrating because, again, like, I mean, it always comes back to just the irrationality and contrarianism on the right, especially these days, where there's a big protest and everyone is wearing masks. And then you get like, well, they're not social distancing. I thought that was bad. And first of right. all, well, they're all wearing masks and that's like a part of it. But you see something like the White House and the president and the vice president, all these people, they're supposed to set the example. If you're actually upset about this, instead of pretending to care, then you would be like, well, they should do the social distancing and the masks. They're in charge. That's called leadership. Instead of like chastising, like, oh, the protesters, they're not far enough away. Well, again, first of all, they're all wearing masks. But it's just so dishonest and frustrating to see this.
Well, especially since the whole week, I mean, we'll get to doing a little bit of fact checking, impossible because the whole thing was a massive lie. But all week they're talking about and praising Trump's pandemic response.
Yeah.
I mean,
which is just, why it's so foolhardy to engage with these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's exactly what you're saying.
I unfollowed Ben Shapiro today.
Good for you.
Why
that
were you following
nice.
Him in the first place?
Because he makes me so mad, and he's so wrong all the time, and he's such a liar, and he's so stupid, and it's so frustrating. But it makes my blood boil. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. If there's anyone out there who feels obligated to keep up with what these people are saying, or engage with them, or dunk on them on Twitter, or you know, in any way try and make a difference through communication with these people, it's not going to happen. Yeah. You know, maybe you can convince someone who is not a known.
It's more
person.
About the people that
people
follow
who are watching,
and look at
who are kinda,
and can
yeah.
see if you can keep your cool and be reasonable in it. But it's hard.
But you're not. Yeah, you're not speaking you're not, to anyone with any good faith. Like I said, and this entire convention was a collection of people who are arguing in bad faith and who do not have an intellectual bone in their bodies. Yes, they have very fancy degrees and they have very impressive resumes. Oh, some of them.
Some of them too. Pretty sure the My Pillow guy isn't. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything nice about Tiffany Trump's resume, but she was there. And
She was there,
and she did speak words out loud. So
that was very. I'm sure that was the highlight of her life. Mm-hmm. Was her father acknowledging her enough to put her on stage? But you know, these people are they don't. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And for a week, we saw how much nothing there was. It was vapid and devoid of any substance. Well, the last one was, too, but this one more so, because they are running on nothing. They are not running on being anti-Obama anymore. I mean, sure, he's mentioned. And
well, they are. Yes.
But that is not, it's not front and center because they're not on the public stage.
You can't, right. They are, they mention, they you know, blame Obama, Biden, and sure. They say they did this, do that. But the problems that we're facing, this country, the real crises that we're facing have nothing to do with the past administration. They have everything to do with what's, with how the current government has been handling things. Yeah. Which is one of the big things I want to talk about is the main thing that they're doing is this framing themselves. And we've talked about it today. We've mentioned it. It's going to come back to the same things. The Law and Order Party, the party of, like, you know, Biden and his anarchy, you know, are going to, you know, further plunge this country into chaos. You're in charge of the chaos. currently. Also, I can't say this enough. Biden's response to Black Lives Matter and George Floyd protest was to suggest that the police get more money.
Tepid at best.
Jesus.
Which also they lied about, of course, this week, too. Yes. One of the most blatant things of, like, Biden was asked if he would defund the police, and he said absolutely. That is literally the opposite of what he said. They can't. They just can't.
Well, it seems to me that they have more success attacking mayors and governors of big cities than they do.
They are, yes.
And because we exist in a two-party system where there's either Democrats or there are Republicans and there's nothing in between, you can easily tie Eric Garcetti or the mayor of Portland or the mayor of, you know, Milwaukee or whatever it is. I don't know who the mayor of Milwaukee is, so I apologize for that. You can yell at me if you want for not knowing who that is.
Please don't.
But if you can tie all those people together, de Blasio, and tie them to Biden, because they're in the same party. So he can say, and this is a ridiculous fucking argument, but it is an argument that they can make nonetheless, is, okay, yes, sure, I'm the president now, and everything's terrible, but everything is terrible in those big cities that are run by Democrats. And if you just get them out and you put my people in there, then I can be in control. Or I can just send in federal troops. And I can crack down. It's not, I'm doing my best, despite the fact that Bill de Blasio is a schmuck.
And it's terrifying that that could be effective.
And you know what's fucked up is that the mayors of these cities are schmucks.
Yeah, that's the frustrating
part.
Sure,
I agree.
He's an idiot. Bill de Blasio
fuck Garcetti.
Is an idiot. London Breed is in the pocket of every, you know, startup, multi-billion dollar
internet company.
Is
that San Francisco? Company.
San Francisco mayor, yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's frustrating.
They're not helping by being
No, they're
they
not
are.
Helping at all by being incompetent. Like, my block in Koreatown in Los Angeles has just, you know, tents everywhere. And they're going to get broken up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mayor Garcetti is just waiting for the opportunity to send the clean teams out to sweep these people's possessions off the street.
Yep.
And even though they need a place to stay, and this is a necessity, there are people who will look at that and say, oh, L.A.'s gone to hell. L.A.'s gone to hell.
They will.
It's just like there's a
Bad for them, but what can I do?
Yeah, there's a no-win scenario. There are literally things you can do. There's a great charity that I am trying to get involved with as much as possible when I have the time, called Water Drop LA, where if you donate money to
Water Drop,
they will go out, people will volunteer, and they'll deliver water to these camps.
Yeah, they're incredible.
But there are lots of things you can do. It's just that people choose not to do them.
Yep, 100%.
Also, sorry, real quick, the Law and Order president got impeached. By the way, not a lot of mention of
violated,
that.
He violated the Hatch Act just by being.
Let's talk about that.
The whole week was that.
The whole week was just a violation.
Well, but especially his speech last night. But you guys,
the fireworks. I mean, come on. You got to be impressed by the fireworks.
In case you guys missed this, campaigning at the White House is illegal. That is not a thing that's done, because the White House, despite the president in his speech saying it's not the White House, it's my home, it's not his home. That is the country's. That is ours collectively. And so him standing there and draping his stupid name over everything and having a campaign event is beyond illegal. From the Law and Order president. The impeached Law and Order president. But of course, Mark Meadows dismissed this whole thing by saying nobody outside of the Beltway really cares.
Good point, Mark.
Unfortunately, that is true.
He's absolutely right.
I care. I care. Nobody cares.
But no, he's right.
It is grotesque.
Like every time someone brings up the Hatch Act, I'm like, nobody cares. I understand it's illegal and it sucks, but nobody cares. And because it's true, nobody cares. But he shouldn't be saying that. That guy should be saying, I care, because you're fucking Mark. Like, yeah, it's,
you know what, you know what the scariest part about it is? It's not Trump necessarily. I mean, he's a terrifying figure in American culture, but what he represents is even scarier, because what he's exposed more than it's ever been exposed before, is that laws in this country are propped up by our engagement with them. Not because they matter inherently, but because we decide that they matter. Mm-hmm. And every time a law is broken and we do nothing, we say that law doesn't matter. Yep. We say it's not important. And they will continue doing things that are illegal because they know they will get away with it. Because the law is not tangible to most people. The law of don't shoot someone isn't even tangible anymore because there are ways to get around that. That's not good. That is how a society unravels, is when the laws stop having meaning. So hopefully this doesn't happen again.
Probably will.
I forget who said it. Someone said, like, this is gonna happen. You know, this is great for no matter who's the president. You know, it's a great bully pulpit for the incumbent. It's like, that's not the point. This is not
Fox News host said that. This is like, you know, the problem with what you're saying and promoting. Let's go through.
It's good for people until the guy in the White House you don't like. Like, that's why, like, every president slowly expands the executive branch and everyone's like, yeah, do it. And then when it's the other guy, they're like, wait, this is bad?
Yep. This is the I'll just wrap up my point and say this is the unfortunate consequence of Clinton, Bush, Obama, Reagan, you know, everybody after Carter, basically. It was just like, I would like some more power, please. Mm-hmm.
A few other things this week. I mean, part of me's like, who cares? But also, it's gross and important. Did you guys see Richard Grenell? We had Richard Grenell, who's the acting director of national intelligence. He, and other things, he said a bunch of doozies. He addressed how, you know, the media likes to call Donald Trump a nationalist, but what's wrong with being nationalist? That's the nation first mentality. Mm-hmm. Calls Biden a Washington insider, you know, and paints the picture of how the Democratic establishment rejected all of the outsiders that were running and chose him because the Dems are fair. But it's always that weaponization of the things that we believe to be true. Frustrating. Right is, do you know what I mean?
Very good at adopting leftist rhetoric and using it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Which they do not believe in.
Maybe
a nationalist and nation first isn't especially good when the president is a selective populist and believes that he speaks for 35% of the country and nobody else. Because nationalists they choose the insiders and they choose the outsiders. And if,
despite what they said several times,
in the nation, you're not really in the nation.
Yeah. They said several times, our president wants to protect everybody, you know, it just lies.
That's a fun lie.
You know, and he hammered home again, this idea of the Obama and Biden launched a secret investigation into Trump, you know, and spied on him. And they spent a long time talking about that. Yeah.
There's one thing. So this kind of passed by. And when he brought that up, they spied on my campaign. I forget the exact wording, but he added a little line about, and we'll see what happens there. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. It was.
Trump.
Yeah. It was a line basically implying that he would do that. Same thing. He is going to be doing the spying this time.
Yeah.
Is what he implied.
Yeah.
Whether or not he's going to, it's the same thing with
remains
like,
to be
it's
seen.
The same thing when he does the like maybe 12 more years, maybe 8 more years. That'll make him angry, but he means it. It's a joke.
I should just go through a couple of these lies to bring this home. You know, I hear good ones. All about the COVID response, praising that. I mean, all of that's a lie. But he claimed that we have new treatments and promised these cures coming soon.
Warp speed, baby. We're doing it.
But the U.S., he's like, we've developed these new treatments that changing everything. We have not developed a single new treatment. for coronavirus.
Mm.
Not a one. He claimed that, you know, the U.S. economy gained 9 million jobs over the past 3 months.
Excuse me?
There were some jobs added, but that doesn't take into account all the jobs lost. We're still down like 13 million jobs. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Just so many things. Oh, he said that. Oh, sorry. Did you have something?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, Nancy Pelosi, I think it was yesterday, came out and said, maybe there shouldn't be a debate. Maybe we don't need to have him talking on television about his insane lies and stuff. Actually, in my opinion, I could be wrong. You know, I'm not a brilliant political strategist like Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. I'm just a simple farm boy.
I'm just
a simple peanut farmer. I love Jimmy Carter. I miss him. Anyway.
They made him sell his peanut farm. Sorry, go ahead.
I know. R.I.P. those peanuts. Even though I am not Nancy Pelosi, I would say it is better for Joe Biden and Donald Trump to debate. Because so far, we have these two opposite views of the way things
and
are.
Reality, different realities.
Yeah, opposite realities.
Yeah.
We have the perception of reality from the Democratic Party, which is, as Republicans continue to say, doom and gloom, because it is doom and gloom outside, for real. And then there's the Republican attitude where everything is fine and Joe Biden is going to ruin the beautiful country we have that where everybody gets along, which is not true because nobody gets along and everything sucks. We need to have that contrast. We need to have Joe Biden go on that stage and say, that's not true. That's wrong.
Fact
You're
check
wrong.
Him.
You're wrong. That's a lie.
I mean,
that's a lie. That's a
he's
lie.
Not,
that's a,
just,
yep.
Yes.
Straight to your point, one of his lies last night was that Joe Biden has pledged a $4 trillion tax hike on almost all Americans. No.
Not true.
His tax plan would largely fall on wealthy Americans and corporations.
I hope that when that debate does happen, because it'll happen, Nancy Pelosi's
not
going to stop the debate.
Gonna, yeah.
She's not a part of the Biden campaign. It would be foolish for them not to have a debate. But when that debate happens, I pray, even though I'm not a very religious person, I do pray every night that he will not smile when he says that's a lie. If you watch the 2016 debates again, every time Hillary Clinton was like, he's lying, he's lying. That Donald Trump, he's so silly. He's lying again.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't work. She was laughing him off as though he was this kind of like
made her
little,
smug.
Little bug. Yeah. Like, he's just a little mosquito and he's pestering me.
Yeah.
Although I will say that I think people will receive Joe Biden laughing better than Hillary Clinton laughing.
Sure,
but I agree
probably,
with you. You
like,
have to treat this with the appropriate response.
I pray
anger,
that
anger
Joe Biden is
emotion.
Up to this task. Not just in his approach, which I definitely agree with, but just like in his ability to call them out in real time. Like that is a lie. I know and explain why and be able to respond.
That's
the one thing that Joe Biden does really well is be mad.
Yep. He's mad at voters earlier.
But when he's like, mad,
I'll knock you out.
I've said this for a long time. I think I said it last year during the primary. But there is a 50-50 chance that Joe Biden will try to shove Donald Trump. Like getting so mad and getting his face because he already did it with voters.
I mean, I didn't mention this on last week's podcast when we talked about the DNC, but my eyes popped out of my head when Jill Biden started her speech with a story about how she once punched a bully in the face. I was like,
but
of course,
Donald
Trump
punched his music teacher when he was 10 years old, according to him. So,
he's always been a tough
side
guy.
Side note about Nancy Pelosi and her political acumen. When she was talking about how they shouldn't debate, she also said that if Joe Biden gets elected, they'll get his tax returns. They'll finally get Donald Trump's tax returns.
Who fucking cares at that point?
Who cares, especially at that point? But also, she said that years ago. If we win the midterms, we're going to get his tax returns. It's useless. Everything is useless.
Him going to jail is meaningless to me.
Yeah.
He's not going to go to jail.
No,
there are a lot of people that are like, he's going to go to jail one day. I'm like, no.
You're going to prison,
die.
Traitor.
No, but
I need to
is...
mute that phrase. You're going to prison, traitor.
He's
going to
die in Trump Tower on the golden toilet.
Yeah, he's going to shit himself to
death.
That is what is going to happen.
He's going
to
be tied up in lawsuits for the rest of his life. Absolutely. I believe that.
Yeah. But he's
maybe
been tied up with
die
lawsuits
in
for his
court.
Entire life already.
Yeah, he's used to it, but there's more. Yeah. So.
There are more.
All right.
The politics of retribution is so 20th century to me. I find it abhorrent. We don't need to be focused on his tax returns. We don't need to be focused on the various malfeasances that occurred during this campaign or his presidency.
Win and give people health care.
I would
fix like, the country.
Like, my God,
That will I do agree.
People's opinion on Donald Trump in a heartbeat. If in 2 years, people have jobs and health care.
Yeah, you're right.
And
this is an opportunity to not fuck up.
Intertwined.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Oh, I mean, ideally. You're right. I would love to see him in jail, but it's not the thing that's important right now. No. There's a lot more important fish to fry.
Yeah, social justice is more important than justice for Donald Trump specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, justice for all of the families of Black Americans who've been killed by the police matters more to me than justice for Donald Trump.
That seems like a good place to leave things for today. Thank you so much for taking time and joining us again, Dave.
Of course.
Can you tell our listeners, remind them where to find you and the stuff you're working on?
You can find me on Twitter at @Dave_Schilling. You can also
follow, guys. He's a solid follow.
Absolutely solid follow. And
slam
then
that follow button.
Crush it, smash it. And then you can listen to my podcast, Full Court Chat, on any podcast platform you can think of. It's a comedy podcast. We don't really get into politics so much. So if you're disappointed that I'm not yelling about Trump, it's for my sanity that I don't have a politics podcast. And then I wrote a humor piece, a Shouts and Murmurs piece for The New Yorker that came out last week. And
I missed that.
I encourage everyone to read it. It's about Austin Powers and the director Peter Bogdanovich, and I think it's very funny, and I hope you read it.
Amazing. Excellent. I'm going to go read that today.
If you have free articles left.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a limit. So.
And if the incognito window trick doesn't work for
my
you.
Mom is like, I'd read it, but I'm out of free articles, Dave. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Incognito.
Just take screenshots and email it to her.
No big deal, Mom. This is my first ever New Yorker article, but sure.
Or print it out and mail it. Hey, then you're supporting come on, support our mail workers.
Well, I'll get there in November because of Trump.
Yep.
Mm. Anyway.
Okay. Thanks again for joining us. And to all of our listeners, please know that we love you very much. Yes.
Yes.